Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
It's really nice that we don't have a tremendous guideline by which everybody has to measure up. The ground rules are really quite simple for you new people. It's don't hurt yourself, don't hurt others, and take care of yourself so you can help take care of others, and use everything to your advantage. And that using everything to your advantage means don't hurt others while you're doing that. Primarily, it's the incorporation of a golden rule or a rule of life in a way that allows you and, in fact, insists that you live at a peak level of performance. We hear a lot of people talking about burnout and worn out and tired. And primarily, this phenomena of weariness takes place when we have set up standards inside of us that are invisible. And I'd like to call that withholds. The withholds that we hold inside of us that deals with the world. How I withhold telling you the rule that I have about your behavior and how I inside think, feel, that you ought to, should, or could behave. And when you don't measure up to that, then I get to run another one called, you should know better. And then when you don't measure up to that, then I get to come forward with my heavy artillery. I'll show you. Then after I get you with my heavy artillery, you come in with the ground troops and wipe it up. And so then I think, how do I do this again so I can win? For some reason, it seems that we people called humans, and primarily in what we'd call the educated, civilized, cultured world, and I'd hope this is it, there's some question about that in a lot of people's minds, that we have bought into other people's idea about how we should or could or ought to or might be if we follow their set of behavioral rules for us. And from very little, we start formulating that. And it becomes so very, I'm going to use the word natural, for us to do that, that often it goes on and we aren't even aware that it's going on until somebody draws our attention to it. At that point, we have a couple choices. One is, gee, thanks for telling me, but it's rare we exercise that option. The other option we exercise is, how dare you? Who do you think you are to tell me that when you haven't measured up to my rules yet? That's usually the silent one inside. Well, who they happen to be is the person that saw what was going on and they told you. Feedback is giving information back to the person. The feedback doesn't even have to be right or accurate. Right now, while you're sitting, listening, observing, you're giving me feedback if I'm willing to pay any attention to it. Now, if I were, I'd probably stop and go home because you're probably all bored at this point. But since they put our tape on, we're going to run it out. The feedback then becomes one of you also listening to what I have to say. So it isn't that I'm up here speaking to you as much as that we're all together putting input into this form to then give the information back out, hopefully as clearly and concisely and directly as possible. Now, I haven't been able to do all those yet. I do a little bit periodically once in a while. And sometimes I'll really be smashing and do it, but that's usually in the morning when I've just gotten out of bed and there aren't any television cameras around, nor any tape recorders. By the time I can get a tape into my tape recorder to tape something about how great it is, it isn't so hot anymore. And then I say, well, what I've got to do now is just live the spontaneity of each moment. If I could just get that one again. But there's a strange thing in this world called that one came and that one went. But I want to make up rules about that. I think that shouldn't go. I think that should come back, and I think it should do this, and I think it should do that. The more rules that I make that are of a negative nature, that limit, restrict, or confine, and those are all saying the same things, but they cover different levels of consciousness. The more any of those appear in me as a human being and directed in the relationship towards you as a human being, the more I am treating you as an object and not as someone that can give back and nurture towards me as a person, and that this person does need nurturing as well as all other persons need nurturing. And I found out something in this travel across the planet. If I don't nurture me, it might not get done. So I make sure that I do that. Then if someone else comes along and decides they want some input into the nurturing, I say, sure, come on. It's okay to participate. Now, what's nice about that is if they don't participate the way I want them to, I don't have that going because I'm already full. So they may say, hi, and that's good enough for me. Or they may just look at me, and that's good enough for me. Do I need anything from them? No. Why not? You only have need when you have lack, and you only have lack when you're not taking care of what needs to be taken care of. What's nice, though, is that you'll find somebody nurtures you and you marry them. What you've married really is a set of rules and regulations. Now, I'm going to take this from a male point of view, chauvinistic at that, and maybe sexist on top of it. And you women can just switch it right around to the female point of view and just run it back the same way. Sometimes I take the woman's point of view and run it, and then everybody wonders, how do you know so much about that? Then I have to spend a great deal of time telling I read them in a book. And they say, that's not in a book. Then I tell them that I just know it, and then they don't believe it. But then how come I could do it? Then they have doubt, and they have worry, and they have concern. So not to go into that. What we'll go into is, from this point of view, inside of each person, and I'll use me as the example, and I don't mind that, because for yay or nay, here it is. And probably it's going to stay this way too, and that may be good news or bad news. The very thing that attracts me about that woman is that uniqueness that's different than all the other women around who have uniqueness. There's something very special, outgoing. Maybe it's a wildness, rebelliousness. Maybe it's a graciousness or a sensitivity or tenderness. Something that is just wow. So what I do is I abandon all my rules inside of me about my behavior in order to get her. That's called making a fool out of yourself. Or, love knows no boundaries or barriers. They're real dumb, stupid people. Love is blind. We all know that because look who we get. Then after we get them and our eyes are opened, we start wanting them to change that behavior that we fell in love with. Don't do that. Don't do that anymore. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. And they go, what? You told me that that's what was so cute and nifty about me. It was when you were 18, but you're 40 now. I noticed it when you were 30, however. Change it. If you don't change it, then we're going to have some difficulties. Now, I don't know who can make it the most difficult. I think it's 50-50. You see this little woman who's so frail and fragile looking that on a good day with a very slight wind she'd go flying off in space and you'd think Mary Poppins was going. She marries this great big pile-driving truck driver, lumberjack. You know which one I'm talking about. And you know that if she said, don't do that, he'd go, abango. That's it. And he'll be smart enough and wise enough, and she runs in the room and walks up to him and just tells him, knock that off, Buster. And he sits down and knocks it off. And you go, how come he let her do that to him? Doesn't he know that he is much, much bigger and much, much stronger? The answer is no. He don't know that. And if he knew that, she's got him snowed. Winter all the time in their household, let me tell you. Yeah, you got that. She's going to keep him snowed. Then you say, well, you think he would be smart enough to handle her. And I know a lot of women and men who are psychologists trained in family and marriage counseling. Real sharp, great clientele, well respected in the community. Well respected, meaning they got a lot of money. Lots of your money. They get a divorce. And then you wonder, is there any justice in the world? If those two professionals who are so good at it can't get along, what on earth is going on in this world? It doesn't go on in the world, it goes on inside of us. We make up rules about their behavior. Not only that, we listen to them make up rules about our behavior and we buy into it. Good girls don't do that. Only bad girls. If that's true, how come all the bad girls are getting all the dates and all the good girls aren't? Couldn't I just be bad once in a while to get a date? And I see a lot of women saying, yes! You might say, well, what is bad? Bad is the rule that you write inside of you about what's bad and what's good. Sometimes we have rules written inside of us that says, I'd like to do thus and such an act, whatever it is. But oh God, if my mother or my father found out, I'd just die. So you don't do it and you walk around with shame thinking maybe they find out. How are they going to find out if you didn't do it? Never thought of that. I just thought that I should feel bad because I thought of it because I'm a good person and good people have shame and feelings of shame when they think of these things they didn't want to do that they shouldn't do. Of course that's reasonable. Oh, that's crazy, folks. Wacko. In case you're wondering, it is. very dear friend of mine many years ago sit me down at a table with some other people. I'm not going to identify the friend because the friend will watch this television or might stand up and say I shouldn't have told. So, told me about how the payroll from a certain town went to another town to pay all these workers in this great big mining plant at a certain time. And that if we were to meet this payroll truck in a certain place, we could get all that money and they wouldn't know about it because before they could get to either town, we could split in any direction we wanted to and there's no way they could catch us. They didn't have two-way radios back during that time and all that. They just had fast cars. He laid out the deal and it looked good to me. I thought, yeah, that'll work. That'll really work. And I thought about that and thought about that. And I went home and I thought about that, thought about that. A couple weeks later, I went to visit again. I said, I've been thinking about your plan. He says, well, we can't do anything about it. And I said, well, that's okay with me. And would you like to know why? And I said, yeah. I said, well, my wife got a copy of the plans. I said, yeah. He said, man, she just about made me eat those. I said, well, so? He says, well, I've been feeling so bad, just so ashamed of myself ever since. And about this time, she comes in the room. She said, you were part of this plan, weren't you? I said, I was part of the discussion. I was not part of the plan. She said, you listened to it. I said, I listened to it. She said, well, then that made you a part of it. I said, no, it didn't. You can listen to somebody talk about fertilizer all day long and not become fertilizer. Do you understand that? Her rule inside said, if you listened, you're part of it. My rule said, nope. I can listen to a lot of things and not become part of it. I can listen to a revolution in South America and not be part of the revolution. I can watch firing squads on television and not be part of the firing squad. Because my rule says, you're only part of what you're part of. And if you're not part of it, nobody's going to sell it to you and you don't buy into it. But then we're supposed to feel guilty because look at all the kids in China who are starving because you didn't eat the peas on your plate. How on earth were they going to get the peas from my plate to China? They'll be rotten before they get there. Then I catch them throwing them out. What are you throwing out the Chinese peas down here in this thing? What were they really saying? The rule is eat what I put on your plate. That went off for a lot of years. I said, don't put stuff on my plate. You want to know why? I had to eat it. I'll put stuff on my plate. I put it on. They said, you didn't put enough. I said, I'll eat that, and if I want more, I'll put more. They watched. I ate it, and I said, I'm through. That wasn't enough. Well, I watched a dear friend at the table eat. He put peas on his plate. In a few minutes, all his peas were gone. I didn't know it because I was busy forking them. You've all done that. And he got all through and he says, I'm through. I've eaten all my peas. And there was a lady sitting at the table there with us. She says, by golly, he sure did. But me sitting over on the other side there, you aren't doing too hot. She says, but you missed one right there along the corner. One of the peas on his plate fell along the side. So she reached over to pull it out in the way. In the meantime, it moved the plate, and then she saw another pea. Then as she moved the plate, she saw some more, so she picked the plate up, and he had ringed around the bottom of the plate. All of the peas. While they were busy jumping on him, I got mine and got up and left and threw him out. It was just about that time I decided There's no need to buy into somebody else's game if it's not yours and you're not going to support it 100%. Just tell them no, sorry. You know something? That took a lot of guts and courage and stitches, band-aids, a lot of fear in the night. What if they do it in the morning again? I wasn't a battered child. I just made them think I was battered. Have any of you ever been hit through a great big comforter that thick on your bed in the middle of winter with a little wire hanger? Whack. Oh! You're killing me! Oh, that hurts so bad. Whack, whack. Oh! I remember one night I yelled a little bit too much. My mother said, "Son, that was one yell too loud," and down came the comforter. God, you should see me when she was swinging. I'd move just like that till I wore out her arms. Then, it's wait till I tell your dad. So I said, I stopped and I said, "Hit." So she got in a couple good ones, you know, little welts here and there. But if my dad would come downstairs, he'd have a new fresh arm. Don't buy into other people's stuff. You understand that? But watch out that you don't destroy what they're telling you, because then they're going to set it up worse. They're going to wait and wait. Sometimes when you're talking to somebody, that lurch you feel is you went out on the limb and they're sawing it off behind you. That's when you say, "Wait a minute, I think I went beyond my facts." And you crawl back to the main trunk, get your facts accurate, stick with it. Now, if you stick with the facts and what's so, you don't have to run rules inside of you. You don't have to run standards of how everybody's got to behave. You don't have to run standards. My son's got to be a doctor. Or at least a dentist. At least an attorney. No veterinarian. Okay, I'll take a veterinarian. Don't drive taxi. We set up the thing inside of us that if we don't perform, there is something intrinsically wrong with us as a person. And we buy that one and run it inside of us as the major rule. There's got to be something wrong inside of there, because sometimes I get these strange ideas and feelings and compulsions and obsessions. And society's got some rules out there that says if you don't fall within these parameters, you're a deviant or a pervert. Or maybe just variated at the worst. Well, a variation on the theme, if nothing else. Somebody asked me about that years later, and I had had statistics class. And they said, "Well, how do you fall on this?" I said, "One standard deviation off the norm." They said, "Oh, you're a standard deviant, huh?" I said, "Yeah, you know, just one off the norm." They never could figure out that that all falls within the parameter of society's behavior. So what I was saying is, I can go from this extreme in this behavior that's set up here. But inside of them, they were busy writing rules about what they thought I meant when I said what I said. And then when I was offered with something, and I said, "No, I don't do that." And they said, "But I thought you said you did." And I said, "No, I never said I did. I said I function within these parameters, and you read in it what you wanted to read." Then they felt bad, naturally, and felt a fool, and felt rejected. And I had violated the rule inside of them. I shouldn't hurt them. I shouldn't reject them. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. And I did them all right down the line. I didn't miss one. So then I was a nasty person. That was the nicest day I had in a long time. I didn't know that being nasty, by their definition, could be so much fun. Because inside of me, it felt like integrity and oneness and just saying, "Hey, I don't have to submit and give in, because I don't see how this is going to be to my advantage nor to yours. I can see how it's to your advantage, and later on I can see how it's going to be to my shame and my guilt. And I am not going to do it. That willingness to say, no, I won't, and if I want to, I can, presents yourself inside with freedom within this boundary of rules and regulations we set up. You'd be amazed at the rules that I have people run on me. I was supposed to have said something a while back. So somebody asked one of the staff members, what do you think of such and such? And they said something very similar to like what I was supposed to have said. And the person got very upset because I am not supposed to say that. So then I happened to be in a training with them, and up came the type of question, and I answered it in the context of the question, which was entirely different than just saying that. If you take a lot of words and you use them in the context of discussion, they are appropriate, they make sense, they drive the point home. But when said in another context of belittling, degrading, or upsetting someone, then it's a hurt that takes place. My job isn't to hurt. I don't know if anybody else had yours assigned that way. Did somebody assign you the job in this world? You are to hurt yourself and others? If they did, you're in the wrong meeting. Be'erush Be'shan.
John Rogers' closing words were Be'erush Be'shan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.